Welcome to worship this morning, wherever you are. My name is Lynn, and I have the privilege of being the minister here at Adelaide West. Once again, today this is one of four services this weekend. This one and three in-person services. At each of those services, we light a candle. And I invite you to do the same. It unites us together, and it's a tangible symbol of God's presence with us. Last week, as we commenced in-person services, we mentioned this online service, as this is very much part of the Adelaide West community. A week ago, Owen Peter Finlay was born, and as a community, we celebrate with James and Amy. James has been filming and editing our online services. And so if you notice last week's service sound was a little hollow, that's because James was in a more important place with the birth of their son. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll be filming this ourselves and James will continue to edit. Hopefully the sound won't be too bad, but please bear with us. The singing will come from previous recordings until we're able to record some more. And we'd welcome any feedback or any comments as we find our new normal in these services. We worship together in the land that is plentiful, where God's streams of abundance flow. Blessed be God's name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Today's Bible reading comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And may God grant to us understanding of his word this morning.
I love bits and pieces of trivia. I'm not good at remembering them, so I'm not the best person to have at a quiz night, but I'm intrigued by them. And this week I read that on average, a four-year-old asks 437 questions per day. 437. Usually half of them are why questions. Why is the sky blue? Why do I have to go to bed? Why can't I breathe underwater like dolphins do? Why can't I have lunch now? And why is wood made out of splinters? Questions all day long. Endless, continuous, relentless. You know, my questions are, who counted the questions? How big was the research group? Who wrote a thesis on this? And does it help to know this or not? It strikes me that the parables of Jesus provoke us to ask lots of questions. There's something in us, like the four-year-olds, that just wants to make sense of it all. We want to work a parable out as if it were a mathematical formula, so we can move on to the next one and work that one out. But parables weren't shared like that. They were a Jewish form of address, using indirect communication to communicate something quite profound. We're not meant to tackle them like a formula. Jesus is taking something familiar to communicate unfamiliar. He's sitting in a boat. That's already strange for a teacher, a rabbi. Normally they went to a synagogue and read from a scroll and then sat down in the synagogue to preach. But here he sits in a boat and the people are on the shore. And he tells them a parable. It's a bit like a yarn. I wonder if he sees a farmer from where he's sitting. In the original language, it doesn't say a farmer, it says the farmer. I wonder if he sees the farmer and talks about what he sees. Because Jesus used parables as teaching aids that can be used as analogies or a comparison of something earthly with a heavenly meaning. And they're often based on ordinary things. Today, it might have been the parable of the toaster. And there's often a puzzle or a twist in them, sometimes a shock to the hearers, something that makes us think. They can be described as truth hidden in plain sight. After all, there could have been spies from the empire or concerned religious authorities in the crowd. So their meanings are hard to hold. They're not meant to be lessons with 3 points. Rather, they provoke us to ask questions, including questions of ourselves. And I wonder, do parables say the same thing over and over? Or does the Spirit speak to us? Speak to us in them differently at different times. Generate new meaning in new situations. Present a different vision of the world. And challenge the everyday expectations of the hearer. Ben Myers has 10 rules for preaching parables. A couple of them are: don't assume God is necessarily one of the characters in the parable, and don't assume the parable is trying to improve your life. Don't assume you're the goodie in the story and others are the baddies. And if you're untroubled when expounding them, you're doing it wrong. And my personal favorite, if you preach it and muck it up, as long as the parable was read in the service, it's not a total loss. And I'm holding on to that one. We have a couple of weeks of parables in the Gospel, in the book of Matthew, in the Bible. You know, the titles for the parables were not given by Jesus. They were a later addition. And when we give a passage a name, it often defines the text. You know, this parable is known as the parable of the sower, but also of the seed, and also of the soil or soils. I wonder what you heard. And if you were to name this parable, what would you name it? So the farmer sowed his seed. As he scattered, some fall on the path, and the birds come and eat it. Some fall on the rocky places where there isn't much soil. It grows, but without much root, the sun scorches them. And some fall amongst the thorns or weeds, and the weeds were stronger and choked out the plants. Some fall on good soil and produce an abundant crop. There are so many ways to look at this, and there is no one way. Even when the birds come, the seed nourishes the birds. The birds drop the seeds elsewhere where they often grow. It's not wasted. We know that plants do grow in the most unsustainable places, trees in between rocks, plants in the pavers, and in all sorts of places where we don't even want them to grow. And even amongst the weeds, there are times the seed grows. Some of us have heard this all broken down from our perspective, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the danger is that we start to worry about what kind of ground we are in with God. How many birds are in my field? How many rocks or thorns? Those things that distract me and choke up my life. The worries of life, the material stuff in our lives. We start to focus on how we can clean them all up, how we can turn ourselves into a well-tilled, well-weeded, well-fertilized field for the sowing of God's word, the sowing of the gospel in our lives. And it's easy to be self-righteous and to make judgments about ourselves or others. And we may worry about the odds are 3-1 against us. After all, that's the odds in the parable. And how can we improve the odds by cleaning up our acts? We tend to read this parable not as the parable of the sower, but as the parable of the judgment of the soil. And it becomes about rules and our works. Can I encourage us to go beyond what type of soil are we? As parables aren't about improving our lives, and in this one, Jesus is giving us a glimpse of the kingdom of God. Matthew gives us some explanation about this parable. Could it be that he's writing to the suffering early church, encouraging them to sow seed of God's love everywhere? You know, Jesus has been preaching in various towns and had experienced all of these responses to his teaching. And yet, he continued to preach, to heal, and to teach about the kingdom of God. This parable could be called the extravagant sower, where the focus is not on those who are the good soil, but focus is more powerful when on God. So hopefully in love with all of us that God extravagantly throws seed everywhere. Everywhere. That's behind the bulk waste bins, in the smelly landfills, in the places that we don't want to go, wherever there might be someone passing by. Our hope is in such a God who refuses to be limited to sowing where investment possibilities are the most promising. Last week we encountered Jesus saying, "Come to me. Come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden." There's a subtext to this. Stop trying to fix things, to make things happen. God is sowing the seed with abundance. I love the painting and the interpretation of Vincent van Gogh, or to pronounce it with some of my Dutch heritage, Van Gogh. There's a mystery here. There's a colour and an abundance. It's not sorted, fixed, or defined. You know, if a farmer receives fourfold return, that's good. If tenfold, that's excellent. But here it says it would be 100-fold, and that's abundance. And in this painting, we see abundance. And yet if we look closely, we see the birds, we see the path, but we see abundance. And we are to rejoice and celebrate this abundance, to celebrate God's love and to be encouraged by its miraculous yields. Despite setbacks, God's kingdom comes and will surprise us by its harvest. There is the challenge for us to not limit our sowing seeds of God's love to the strategic places, but to sow God's love everywhere we can, knowing that sometimes the seed will fall on places where people may not listen, may not see or want to see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, God's reign on earth, God's love, will continue to find a way to grow even on the days when we feel beaten down or overcome by thorns or at our rockiest. In what unexpected place might you be sowing or throwing seeds of God's love? In this parable, we see the lush, perhaps even the ludicrous image of how God extravagantly, wastefully, abundantly sows the word of the kingdom. And hence, we read this parable in joy. Come to God, the indiscriminate sower, throwing seeds everywhere. Yes, this world is rocky, thorny, downtrodden, choked, but nevertheless God persists and continues to extravagantly sow so that we can experience the abundance and reckless generosity of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your abundant love, for your extravagance, for the way you sow seeds everywhere, not just where people will listen. Thank you that the seeds of your kingdom are forever being sown into our lives, into our world, O God. Lord Jesus, we confess those times where we fail to involve others in planting any seeds of faith in the lives of others, any seeds of love. The times when our personal agendas become more important than yours. The times when our lives become so entangled with the values of this world that we forget your love. Lord Jesus, we bring to you all of those things, all our sins. And we thank you that our sins are forgiven through your death on the cross. Lord Jesus, lead us, we pray. Teach us to be reckless sowers, scattering the seed of the gospel, scattering the seed of your love in the most unlikely of places. May the seeds of your love take root in our hearts and lives and produce an abundant harvest. Lord, we also bring to you today our concerns, our cares for this world and for the people that we know and love. We think of those places where they're doing it really tough at the moment due to war, famine, oppression, struggle, or COVID-19. We pray for countries that are struggling with the virus, and we pray for countries that have been forgotten as the world is consumed with the concern of COVID-19. Lord Jesus, we pray for the people of Victoria, they'll be able to stop the spread of the virus. We pray for those who are now living and working and schooling from home. We pray for leaders making difficult decisions on a daily basis. And Holy Spirit, we pray for those in our midst, those we know and love, who are struggling with life at the moment, living with fear, dealing with health or other circumstances, or have no hope. We pray for people without work, for those in or preparing for new seasons, awaiting results for families that have lost loved ones recently. And we also pray for a new baby in our midst, for a couple about to marry this week, and for teachers, school staff and students for refreshment in these holidays. And together we lift the names and faces of people and pray for your grace and your love to surround them at this time. We offer you our praise, spoken aloud and in our hearts, together in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. It's good to meet together in this way. And you'll be pleased to know that the wheat didn't catch fire. I know you were thinking of it. I hope you felt connected as we've gathered. I encourage you to reach out and to connect with others now or later today. We continue to respond to God's grace and mercy with our gifts and offerings and pray that these gifts, our lives, time and energy, would be used to share the abundant love of God in the unexpected places in our world. For Connect Groups, I'll put up some questions to discuss from today's service on Facebook, or if you'd like to receive them, please contact us. Prayer is always available. If you're watching this live, you can press the prayer request button now, or ring or email. Each week there are now four services to connect with, three in person here at Adelaide West, 9:15, 11 and 5 p.m. and church online at 10 a.m. and then available at any time on the Adelaide West YouTube channel. Why not invite someone to join? Come to God, the indiscriminate sower, throwing seeds of love. May we nurture the seeds planted within us. And may we be throwing seeds of God's love in unexpected places. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you today and each day as you serve God's world. Thank you for being a part of this service today, and we look forward to gathering again next week. Blessings to you.